Welcome to the Slim and Thick West Coast podcast, a space for those in the community.
From news, media, and everything in between, this is a labor of love for the community that we love. So sit back and welcome to the conversation.
Relaxing, ain't it?
People watch me every night. Have an inferiority complex, haven't you?
All right. Welcome back to the Slim and Thick West Coast podcast. This is your girls. So, hello. This is Thick. I forgot for a second. I'm sorry.
Hello. What is up? Good morning, afternoon, or night, wherever you are at. This is your girl, Slim. Thank you for joining the conversation. This is going to be a speedy.
We always say that, and then we end up being here for a minute.
This has to be one, because I have to go to work tonight, and I cannot not have sleep before I go to work. I need at least, a couple hours of sleep before I go to work, because I work 12 hours, and I don't want to be falling over asleep at, 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yes. And I took time off work because I'm already feeling sick, honestly. So tired. Okay, so please, 1,000 times, vote. I know it's exhausting. I know being around people and listening to them talk about it, we are ready for these ads to stop playing. We are ready for YouTube and whoever to stop. Honestly, sometimes I just want to say, whichever candidate that I have not seen the most ads for, that's who I'm voting for. So I get it. I understand. But please, local elections matter too. Midterms matter. General elections. All elections matter.
Yes.
So
we have the beauty of mail-in ballots. So if you have mail-in ballots, go fill those out.
And send those in.
As soon as possible and send those in.
Yes.
Get those done.
Now, if you are going to be voting in person, early voting already started. Early voting started October 22nd. It is going to go up until November 4th. Let me repeat that again. It started October 22nd, and it'll go up until November 4th. It is October 28th right now. So you have a couple more days, all right? So if you're going to go in person to early vote and everything like that, What kinds of IDs are accepted? Are the card issued to the voter at the time or he or she is registered to vote? So your voting card itself, a driver's license, an identification card issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles, a military identification card, or any other form of identification issued by a government agency which contains the voter's signature and physical description or picture. So that's like a passport, I'm thinking, stuff like that, all right? And you should get a sample ballot in your mail. Slim and I came just maybe a week ago or so. So that you can get in the mail, and then you can fill that out ahead of time and then go and do that. Or you can use your mail-in ballot.
Use your mail-in ballot if you're going in person to vote and you feel like you're going to be nervous because there's so much people and so much stuff going on. Just fill out your sample ballot and you can bring that in with you.
Yes,
and
you can.
All you have to do is make sure everything matches up and just click, go.
Good, right?
Do what you need to do.
So, early voting started October 22nd and early voting ends November 4th. And voting stations are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. If you want a list of the voting locations, please go to www.nvsos.gov. Again, that is www.nvsos.gov. All right? And this information will be also on the website. Now, disclaimer. Again, you don't have to vote for any of the things that we are telling you to vote for. We just want to give you as much information as possible so you can feel informed and you can feel confident about your vote. Because it does matter. When you vote, it matters. It is important, okay? Do not let anyone take away your right to vote. It is very important. Let yourself be heard that way. That's not the only way to let yourself be heard. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you should be writing your senators. You still should be going out and organizing and things like that. But if this is the best way for, you know, certain people feel this is the best way for them, then this is good too, and this is important. So all forms of organizing are very important. This is one form of organizing that's very critical. All right. So thank you all for those going out to vote, those who have already voted, and those that are getting ready to and putting in the effort to go out and do that and be informed and all that. We definitely appreciate it. We appreciate you, and your community appreciates you. Thank you so much. Now, again, like we said, this is just extra information. This is us going through the ballot. So for Nevada, we have a couple of different seats and whatnot are available. I divided up the discussion, or the ballots are divided up into your 5-0 appointments. That is our senators that we send to the Capitol and the House of Representatives, or representatives that we send to the House of Representatives. Those are the people that go to Washington, D.C., and they go to represent us. In that area, we have Catherine Cortez Masto. I'm sorry, Slim, you have the ballot. Can you please just...
So, to start us off, we have the candidates for partisan offices. So, that's the one that was talking about is going to be going to the actual Capitol, represent us in that more federal sense. Mm-hmm. So, first up is the United States Senate, who is going to serve a 6-year term.
Yes.
So, we have Catherine Cortez Masto, Democrat.
For the Democrats.
We have Adam Paul Laxalt, Republican. Mm-hmm. We have Barry Lindenman, who is...
Nonpartisan.
We have Barry Rubinson, who is independent. Mm-hmm. And we have Neil Scott, who is LPN, whichever that means.
I think it's a libertarian, maybe, okay, or libertarian, yes. Or something like that.
Something like that. Along those lines.
And for the Senate has two important and specific duties. Senators are empowered to conduct impeachment proceedings of high federal officials, are tasked with exercising the power of advice and consent on treaties, and play an important role in the confirmation or denial of certain appointments, including ambassadors and judicial court justices. So you remember the whole thing about the first Black Supreme Court justice that was appointed. You also had Brett Kavanaugh. You have all of those Supreme Court justices and everything. So senators are involved in voting for those confirmations and being a part of those hearings. Okay? They are also impeachment proceedings. They're also in there voting on those types of things too, right? And other appointments like ambassadors and all that, they're involved in making those decisions as well. So they're a big part of our legislative branch. You have laws, all the type of stuff that are involved with them. So for us, we supported Catherine Cortez Masto. I think Adam Laxalt is the Republican candidate. He is pretty close, neck and neck in the polls. So the biggest, I think, conflicting thing for us in our decision on why we made the decision to choose who we chose is mostly because of the, if you look back in our series, we talked about the anti-trans bill, we talked about the Don't Say Gay bill. And now you might be like, well, those were in Florida and Texas. Why do you care about that? Listen, just because it's not happening in this state does not mean it cannot happen in the state. I want you all to really understand that, okay? Yes, Nevada has really come a long way in terms of having in our Constitution a lot of inalienable rights. Even question one on our ballot this year is centered around civil rights, and basically that nobody can violate those rights. We recommend voting yes on that, on question one.
We will get to that later, but yes, Adam Laxalt, in his stance, in previous stance, when these topics have been coming out and been talking about it, he has been in support of those being some sort of placeholder in, you know, all those in just existing, basically. So if he were to be in a position of power, such as within the United States Senate, he would have a bit more sway in terms of being able to vote for or against in terms of that.
Right.
Because again, this is for the United States Senate. It's more of a federal level overseeing not just Nevada, but he's going to be representing us in terms of how it's going to affect all states involved.
Yeah, and basically paving the way forward. And don't let them lie to you, okay? Republicans have already put out that they want a national abortion ban. Lindsey Graham has already mentioned that. And even Marjorie Taylor Greene has said, since the trans ban has been so successful in those states, why do we not have a national version of that? So I think it's just very important, if you support not only gay rights, but the anti-CRT thing for Slim and I, it's just, it's, listen, representation matters. Color and all that type of stuff matters. Talking about our history, our heritage, things like that from marginalized groups is very important, and they deserve to be represented. So I cannot get on board with candidates who would support undermining things like that.
Yeah.
And I have students that are gay and trans. I have students that I serve that are, in relationships that are gay and, different. And so basically when I vote, I'm also voting for the future that I want for them. I want them to be representative. I want them to feel like they are a part of a country that respects them, or at least values their life. And so we've already seen that women have been dying from these abortion bans. We've already seen that trans people have been at higher risk of suicide. We've already seen gay people who have been ostracized and facing a lot of persecution. We've already seen disenfranchised voters. So like in Florida with DeSantis and that whole voting thing that was going on, the voter verification police or whatever, that's not the future that I want for any of the people that I know. And so, again, when I say, like, it might just be local, it might just be like, okay, well, I just really care about the economy. And again, that's what the Republicans are running a lot of ads. Here's the thing with that, and I just want to be brief. Yes, we are all struggling financially. Inflation is a bitch, and it is doing a number on us. But I really, really, really need you all to maybe look up Kyle Kulinski, the Humanist Report, there are a whole bunch of different leftist YouTubers who are having discussions about the economy. We do not just believe that the economy is just a magical thing. Well, I mean, money technically isn't real. That's another discussion. I know that's like, don't cancel me yet. Don't be like, I'm out, I'm checked out. And yes, we understand that commerce and stuff exists and it's important, but we're just saying from a leftist perspective, leftists are saying, like, you should not be sacrificing your civil rights and your human rights for the prospect or the idea that maybe, oh yeah, capitalism can get better and the prices can be lowered.
Yeah.
That's what the Republicans are allegedly trying to promise you. And let me just say to you this, listen, 2 years ago, honestly, I was in the same boat financially, even with that president. Biden is not a radical, like, economy person. Even Slim, especially, had her beef where she was just like, he's not going to forgive all those student loans. He's not handing out a whole bunch of money. He's not just, like, giving everything away, okay? That didn't happen. So, again, I just need y'all to, like, focus on what is actually happening. What's going on with the legislation, the policies, the practices, all those types of things. Because that's more important. That is what really, really matters. And at the end of the day, cutting taxes for people is not a guarantee to prosperity. These corporations right now are making out with a lot of money. And I think Katie Porter pointed that out already before. 53% increase in corporate profits over this pandemic. So why do we need to cut more taxes? Why is that the solution? That's not the solution. So I'm begging you, please really, like, look into this information and really analyze it, because voting red is not going to solve that problem. are we saying vote blue? And of course, that's not what we're saying. But we're just saying, like, don't make that your only reason. Okay.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, that was the first section.
So then the U.S. House of Representatives, that's going to be for Congress as well. And that's going to be for the House of Representatives, and that's another federal appointment.
Yes. So these are representatives in Congress. This is on our ballot for Nevada District 1, and they will be serving a 2-year term. Okay, and there's only 3 people on here. There is Ken Kavanaugh, who is a part of the Libertarian Party. We have Mark Robertson, who is Republican, and then we have Dina Titus, Democrat.
All right. And then our next ones are state appointments. So state appointments are at the local level. So these are people that run the state. So you have governor, which is Steve Sisolak currently. That person serves for 4 years. So that is like the president of our state.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, they are the part of our executive branch for the state. You have our lieutenant governor, another 4 years. You have the attorney general. That's another 4 years. Secretary of State, 4 years. Treasurer, 4 years. Controller, 4 years. And then for our state courts, so we have our federal courts, and then we have our lower courts, which are our state courts. And in those courts, we also have senators and representatives in those courts as well. Those are up for election as well, those yes. seats. And those are for the state senators, it's 4 years, and for the state representative, our state assembly, it's 2 years.
Yes.
So for those people, just be aware, like for the other positions such as lieutenant governor, secretary of the state, and whatnot, there are obviously a lot of people on the ballot and whatnot. But just kind of review what they do, because I will be honest, I did not know what was going on, like what exactly each position does. So we were kind of spending like the first like almost hour and a half before here just trying to figure out what each position does, because I think once you understand what the position actually does and what the other person's stance or each person's stance is, then you can make a better decision. Again, we're not telling you to vote Democrat, and we're not telling you to vote a certain way or which way, but just being able to coincide those two things to find the best person that we can think. No person is perfect. No person is great. Just like how for the United States Senate, we said Catherine Cortez Masto. Doesn't mean she's an amazing person.
And Dina Titus for the House of Representatives.
Yeah, and Dina Titus is who we chose for the representative in Congress. Doesn't mean that they're great people. Doesn't mean that they're terrible people.
Or who we chose to support.
Exactly. It just means that there were positives and negatives, and we chose something to outweigh the negatives for each person to choose them. And that's just what you have to do, unfortunately, because that's just how our
system works.
Yeah.
And then for lieutenant governor, for governor, we are doing Steve Sisolak. We're supporting Steve Sisolak.
Yes.
Specifically for the... So we supported him in his work with Democratic Socialists of America. So there was the Get Back to Work policies that were done for workers. That bill was to help workers get back to work after the pandemic happened, to ensure that the casino workers and the food handlers and those in those positions were able to get work after the pandemic ended and the casinos opened up. Those were the first people to be called so that they could get their jobs back. So we thought that was a really great initiative. We thought that was a really great support. Another big thing is Governor Sisolak is in charge of the executive order that prevents abortion bans from affecting doctors and other people who come here to get
those services,
yes. And again, DSA has a fund that they do, which is to help pay for the flight and aftercare and stuff for people who, you know, might not be able to afford, you know, traveling from another state here to get the services and everything done. So that's why we're choosing them. It's not just specifically abortion, but you know, the work policies, and also DSA has been working to try and do a cap on rent, the cost of rent.
Yes.
Now they believe that Governor Sisolak will be more open to something like that.
Yes. So again, this is just like how votership works in terms of being like
strategic.
You need to be an active member in those things, because for the voter cap, I know that they tried to get it on the previous ballot.
Or the renter's cap,
Yeah, the renter's cap. They tried to get it on the previous ballot and it didn't work out. So just be aware, like, you know, keep an eye out for that for any other kind of electoral choices and stuff like that. If you see it, please vote for it. Because
the
prices are getting outrageous.
So what it is, they want to be able to cap the rent on apartments, homes, things like that, to make housing affordable is what the goal is. So keeping that in mind, that is kind of why we made the choices that we did. Lieutenant Governor, I'm not sure who's running for that.
So
sorry.
For that, we have Anthony Stavros. Stavros Anthony, whichever comes first, Republican. And then we have Elizabeth or Lisa Cano Burkhead, who is Democrat. We have John Trey DeLapp, who is nonpartisan. We have William Hodge, who is independent. And we have Javi Trujillo.
My
French. Chucky.
So much is out here butchering these names, like,
I'm so sorry.
You should be very sorry.
I'm so sorry. I just want to stop talking now.
Oh my goodness. So I think we went with supporting
for the Democrats, Elizabeth Cano Burkhead.
Okay, that was better. I just wanted you to stop.
I was not sure about
Secretary of State, Treasurer, Controller. So here, I did actually look those up, because some people are like, I have no idea what any of those things are.
That was me.
Just so you know, state legislative elections. 88 of the country's 99 state legislative chambers will hold regularly scheduled elections. Elections in those 88 chambers represent 6,278 of the country's 7,383 state legislative seats. So that's 85%. Meaning that there are certain battleground states, but this can really shift the concentration of power at the federal level and also at the local level. So depending on Democrats winning, Republicans winning, whichever party, that could really determine moving forward how we are shaping legislation into the future. So that's why I said it's really, really important that everybody votes and take these elections seriously. I know everyone's like, oh, you guys always say that. It's so important. Oh, every year.
Very, very important. Okay. We need you to vote, and we need you to do what you need to do. Even if you're just like, I'm only here to vote for kind of the president and everything like that. Voting in your.
Or the governor. Or the lieutenant governor. Yeah.
But voting in your state, you know, voting in your state elections or your general elections and all of those things are very, 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 very important, because these people are going to represent us, and they're going to push forward how the face of our state is going to be, pushing forward laws, who are we supporting, who are we not supporting, who are we putting our money behind. You know, if you're literally like, I just want to know where the money flows, then even just on that is very, very important, because you have the state treasurer, you have the state controller, you have the county treasurer, you have all those people who are controlling funds and making those choices on what we think are funds and who we should support. All of that is going to be going into. So just be very aware of that, that it starts at the local level, and we build it up and up and up, so that we can get, and again, we can vote for our president, and we can hopefully get everything in line where all the dominoes just fall in a stack. It's not going to work every single time. And every time, there's always going to be somebody who's got to be the fuck up. I'm sorry, but that's true. There's been a couple of them, you know. And I know that the reason why people are so burnt out about voting and everything like that is because it's just like, oh my God, these are not the people that I want. They're not voting. They're not, like, supporting everything that I want and everything like that. And it's all of that. And, you know, I'm still going to be fucking on Joseph's back about this, you know, and I'll be the first person to say this, like, yes, I don't like Joe Biden, I don't care for him, okay, but I did vote for him, because we needed to patch the sieve that we were hemorrhaging from, okay, as America.
That's a great pep talk. As of October 3rd, just so everyone knows, Republicans controlled 54% of all state legislative seats nationally, while Democrats held 44%. Republicans held the majority in 62 chambers, and Democrats held the majority in 36 chambers. One chamber, Alaska House, was organized under a multi-partisan power-sharing coalition. We are one of the battleground states, meaning that our vote... us voting our next representatives could shift the balance of power in the House and in the Senate. So again, that at us and Arizona. So I mean, even still, you should vote either way, but that's also why it's really, really important that you vote.
Yes.
And then some information. Now, the state senators and the state representatives, those individuals are in the state assembly and everything like that. So they are going to be representing us, and they're the legislative branch for the state itself. So they're going to look at bills. So they're going to look at bills on the local level, on the state level, sorry. They're going to look at bills and everything on the state level. They're going to be, you know, meeting with lobbyists or other organizations or whatever, and they're the ones that are going to form, like, for instance, the cap on rent, or talking about minimum wage, or forming a coalition to deal with this or that or whatever. So that's why those positions are very important. That's a local position that people don't really think about, but those are important for that reason. Next thing, the controller. So I had to look this up. That's okay. The controller is the chief fiscal officer of the state and is responsible for administering the state's accounting system, registering vendors, settling all claims against the state, and collecting debts owed to the state. The controller processes and records the state's financial transactions, conducts the final audit, and ensures compliance with our Nevada Constitution, federal laws, and state statutes. So... they basically are in charge of making sure that the financial dealings of the state are up and up, and they can, like you said, they can collect money or collect debts that are owed to the state.
They're a collections officer, essentially, for debts that are owed to the state. So if you owe any debt to the state, you're going to be dealing with this person.
Registering vendors, as we said, settling all claims against the state, and they also are in charge of the counting system, so making sure they account for the money and everything that is going to the state. So that currently is the Nevada State Controller is Catherine Byrne, and that position is up for election. Then we have the... next one is the treasurer. So there is a subtle difference between the two of them. One that I wasn't, like, totally aware of, but it's good to know. So the controller is the accounting system. They collect the debts and everything. The treasurer, state treasurer, handles unclaimed property, manages the state's debt obligations and the investments, and administers scholarship and tuition plans, and helps plan and administer the finances. So, what's the difference? So, if, for instance, Slim had an issue with FAFSA and the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and then Nevada State as well, Nevada State, to pay for her tuition and everything like that. Exactly. She's going to talk to the treasurer. The treasurer should have, like, an ombudsman who is handling, like, scholarships and tuition plans and things like that. So they're helping citizens and everybody with tuition, debt, you know, if they have debt, things like that, managing that type of stuff, all of that. and also managing the state's debt obligations themselves. So controller collects any debt or anything for the state. The treasurer is managing money and stuff like that, that the state has to settle any debt that they might have themselves.
Okay.
To, like, the citizens or whoever, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
two different things.
They are subtle. It's subtle.
But they are two different things.
But they're two different things. And, but they are both still very, very important.
Very important. So, if you guys are concerned about, yeah. Funds, so.
Yes. So, if you're concerned about finances and stuff like that,
know who these people
please
are.
Yes, know who the candidates are for these yes. offices, and please vote
and
specifically in these offices.
You have a state treasurer,
yes,
and you have a county treasurer.
Oh yes.
So one is going to be specifically for the state, and then one is going to be, you know, for the county in which you are
or you reside in.
Yes, in which you are residing in,
which they would be in charge of the same types of
things
but it's just restricted. Yeah, their scope of practice or what they're in charge of is going to be different. It's smaller.
Yes,
it's restricted. So thank you for that. Thank you for that distinction. Another one is the county commissioner. So this one was a little confusing, but here. So the responsibility of the county commissioner, so there's more than one and they have different districts. I think it's districts A through G, my apologies. This is a multifaceted service delivery organization, and it's by a 7-member county commission team. They are elected from geographic districts on a partisan basis for staggered 4-year terms. County commissioners by NEA elect a chairperson who serves as the commissioner's presiding officer. The commission, in turn, hires a county manager who is responsible for the administration, the administrative operations of the county government. So this is on a county level.
Yes.
Right? And so Clark County Commissioners serve as ex officio as the governing bodies of the Las Vegas Valley Water District, Clark County Water Reclamation District, University Medical Center of Southern Nevada, Big Bend and Kyle Canyon Water Districts, and the Clark County Liquor and Gaming Licensing Board. So those are the things that they oversee. So you got a lot of water districts.
Got water, yeah. Medical, and you got your partying.
Okay. So, yes, and the one up for grabs is District G.
Yes, that is the one that on our ballot we are voting
for. At least, yeah, I think it's based on where you're living. So, I guess, like,
whatever county that you will fall under.
Yeah, then it'll show up on your ballot for voting for that one. All right, and then, okay, so county assessor, county clerk, county recorder. Again, I didn't want to say that wasn't important, but I was like, who cares, right? But the county, the county recorder, here's the thing. A county clerk is a public official responsible for maintaining records for a county. The county clerk's responsibilities may include handling marriage licenses and deeds, collecting campaign finance information from local candidates. So, right, campaign finance reform is one of the biggest issues or stuff that people are talking about.
I have a lot of questions about that, so maybe monitor what the county clerk is posting, if they can really.
And if you want campaign finance reform, whoever's in this position might be very important if they believe in that. And administering elections. This position may also be called county clerk recorder or county recorder. Though county recorders typically do not handle elections directly, the National Association of Counties determined that 24 states required county clerks to be elected officials. Two other states allowed counties to determine whether these officials are elected or appointed, while other states with county clerks required them to be appointed. So
for Nevada, you are electing who your county clerk and who your county recorder are.
Yes. And the assessor, they assess things.
they assess your county.
District attorney. It's an attorney for the district. Right? Look at that. It's just like, what does that mean?
It's Steve Wolfson. What does he do?
Wait.
They are your district attorney.
Wait, okay, hold on. Okay, let me, here, give me a second. Give me like 1 second. So district attorney, I think that's the prosecutor. Am I incorrect in thinking that?
Okay, so the Clark County District Attorney prosecutes crimes throughout Clark County, Nevada. Okay. The government's legal team, the CCPA, strives either to win convictions against the defendants and or place eligible defendants in court-approved rehab programs.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, if you're into decarceration, that's going to be very important then. Decarceration and the judicial process and the justice system, if you're into that, then it's going to be important who we elect to this position. Who's running?
So for us, we have Timothy Treffinger, who's Republican, and then we have Steve Wolfson, the Democrat, and I believe he's the current one.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. He is a top prosecutor.
So
he was
CCPA, has jurisdiction over all felony and gross misdemeanor cases anywhere in Clark County, and all misdemeanor cases only in unincorporated Clark County. So nothing that is corporate.
So I guess like on Law and Order, where they say that you have the ADA and then the DA, district attorney, assistant district attorney. Yeah. So they decide if they're going to go forward and prosecute. Right? Like when you hear that on, it's like they're going to decide if they're going to press charges, they're going to decide if they're going to prosecute, they're going to decide what the consequences are. So again, if you're very interested in criminal justice, things like that, please vote for that. And then let's move on to the
nonpartisan offices.
So city council. City council is responsible for, and I think there's only one, right? This is only for Henderson. At least on our ballot, it's only for Henderson. I think it was towards the bottom.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So this is for the city of Henderson for us.
Yes. So this is specific to whichever city that you live in or whichever ward. It may say ward, so that's where it falls under.
So it's Ward 3.
For us.
Yes.
And they follow a 4-year term.
Yes, it is. So city council members, they are responsible for adopting the city budget, approving mayoral appointees, levying taxes, and making or amending city laws, policies, and ordinances. The city council is made up of 7 members, including the mayor.
Yes. So, big job.
Again, yes, if you're worried about budget, the city budget, levying taxes and everything like that, then please vote for your city council member.
Yes, and these are nonpartisan members, so it's not going to be Democrat or Republican.
Yes.
You have Carrie Cox. Obviously, this is for Ward 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Trish Nash.
Nash. I would just Google each one of them, and then based off of what I told you their responsibilities are, you can look into what their financial leanings are. Do they support more taxes? Do they support cutting taxes? Where do they support cutting taxes? How, things like that. So there's some things to keep in mind when browsing, researching, or looking at candidates based on your specific concerns or what you're really interested in. And again, like I said, since they're nonpartisan or whatever, it's really going to come down to the policies. Again, just because someone's a Republican or they're a Democrat or whatever, does not mean they are good or bad at the economy. Please do not go into anything with that mindset.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. And then our last offices to look at are the judgeships.
Yes.
So
we have on here the Justice of the Supreme Court, seat A and E are being voted on.
Yes.
And then we have the Court of Appeals Judge Departments
1, 2, and 3.
And then we have District Court Judge
Judges Departments
Department 9 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have District Court Judge also for Department 17. And then we have
District
one
Court judge,
for the Family Division under Department A. And they all serve 4-year unexpired terms.
Except for the justice of the Supreme Court is 6 years, and the Court of Appeals judge is 6 years as well.
Yes, 6 year term.
But all the other ones aren't expired, 4 year terms. And before anyone asks, I had to look that up too. I don't know what unexpired meant. I think it's just.
It doesn't expire.
It just doesn't expire. What does that mean? It just means, yeah, they're just gonna go the full four years.
Okay. Okay,
I'll take that. Okay, so these judges, by the way, so the justice of the Supreme Court. So yes, we have a Supreme Court within the state. There's the Supreme Court of the United States, and then you have the state Supreme Court. The state courts, these are the court of last resort. That's the highest judicial body within a jurisdiction's court system. Is the court with the highest appellate authority, meaning that its rulings are not subject to further review by another court. A court of last resort is often, but not always, referred to as the Supreme Court.
Yes. So if you are filing something and you are going through the legal system or whatnot, and you appeal and appeal and appeal your cases until it reaches the state Supreme Court, then they make their decision, and usually that is final.
Right. The rulings of courts of last resort are intended to provide clarity to lower courts. These courts also have administrative power over their jurisdiction's judicial system, overseeing lower courts and the rules of the court system. They also often oversee the ethics and conduct of the state's attorneys. So like, just like there is a body or a board that oversees Slim as a nurse, and there's a body and a board that oversees me as a social worker, licensed social worker, these courts are overseeing the attorneys and legal individuals, making sure that they uphold the law.
Offices that work under their jurisdiction.
Officers, yes. So, justice of the Supreme Court, there's A&E. There are some of them on the aisle running unopposed.
Yes.
The Court of Appeals judge. So, Court of Appeals is basically, that's what it means. It's where people go to appeal a conviction or a ruling.
Yes.
And then it can go up to the Supreme Court.
Yes, it can go up to. That doesn't mean that it's going to automatically keep leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it could go up to. Mm-hmm. But you do have to follow the course of legal proceedings.
Mm-hmm. And then the district court judge is judges for just the district courts, the specific districts.
Falls within your district.
Yes. And then district court judge for the family division, that is specifically with like family court, things like that. So you're going to have like CPS cases with like, what's it called? Not paternity, but like if there's a divorce and stuff, like ownership. Or who gets custody, sorry.
Custody.
I'm sorry. This is a long morning. Okay, so custody of the child,
yes.
Putting the custody agreement in place, things like that. Ruling on those types of stuff. So again, you still should vote for these. It's very, very important. I just want to reiterate. When it comes to gay marriage, when it comes to the anti-trans bill, when it comes to abortion, when it comes to all these legislative policies and stuff like that, these last resort courts and these types of courts can become a battleground, because we've all seen how the Supreme Court's been going and hacking away at presidents and whatnot from other stuff. So it'll behoove us to make sure that our state courts at least give us a fighting chance to adhere to freedom.
In our district attorney offices, those that are working within the legal system are there to hopefully uphold the laws that we would want them to uphold.
Yes, and to ensure that our freedom and everything like that is secure.
Yes.
So please vote for that. Okay. Because, yes, it's right now, it's majority. Most of the lower courts and stuff, our majority is Republican.
Mm-hmm.
base. I mean, they're supposed to be nonpartisan, but the views and their voting and are voting are
reflecting something a little bit
different. Yeah, for one side. And then finally, let us go on to our ballot questions.
So we have three ballot questions, and that one that is specific for the city of Henderson. So again, if you live within the city of Henderson, you will get this question. If not, then not. But for the state questions, we have three of them. For the first question, we have the amendment to the Nevada Constitution, Senate Joint Resolution Number 8 of the 80th session. Shall the Nevada Constitution be amended by adding a specific guarantee that equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by this state or any of its cities, counties, or other political subdivisions on account of race, color, creed, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, age, disability, ancestry, or national origin? Now, Thick, tell me, what does this mean?
Voting yes, and I'm getting this from, if you go into our political engagement area, you can get this off Battleborn Progress's website. They have a Nevada ballot guide. And what this is saying, it says, voting yes to this would amend the Nevada Constitution to add new language specifically guaranteeing that equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the state or any of its cities, counties, or other political subdivisions based on race, color, creed, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, age, disability, ancestry, or national origin. It is basically a state-specific version of the Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes. So if you vote, again, yes to this question, you are stating that I would like specific language being placed in the Nevada Constitution to add in a non-discriminatory language so that, again, it covers and non-discrimination will be applied to those of race, color, creed, sex, sexual orientation, two different things, gender identity, or expression, age, disability, ancestry, or national origin.
So yes, it's basically equal rights for all.
Exactly.
No one shall be denied specific rights or anything based off of any of the things that we just listed.
Yes.
All right. So that's why we chose yes on that one. I mean, if you want to say no, I mean, it's sketchy to us. No.
I mean, okay.
You're okay to have your own opinions.
You can have your opinions, but again, sometimes they can be wrong. Moving on. Question number two. Another amendment to the Nevada Constitution, Assembly Joint Resolution Number 10 of the 80th session. Shall the Nevada Constitution, amended effective July 1st of 2024, to 1. Establish the state's minimum wage that employers must pay to certain employees at a rate of $12 per hour worked, subject to any applicable change increases above that $12 rate provided by federal law or enacted by the Nevada legislature. 2. Remove the existing provision setting different rates for the minimum wage based on whether the employer offers certain health benefits to such employees. And 3. Remove the existing provisions for adjusting the minimum wage based on applicable increases in the cost of living. Thick, what does this mean?
Question 2 does the following things. So here they listed that question 2 will, 1, sets the minimum wage listed in the Constitution to be, the Nevada Constitution, the state constitution, to be the same as which was passed in Assembly Bill 456. So Assembly Bill 456 was a bill that was set forth where it was like Bernie and some other people where they were like, we're trying to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. But they were like, okay, $12 an hour. $12 an hour. So that's basically what it is. They want to set the minimum wage here for the state of Nevada to $12 an hour. 2, it removes the healthcare carve out that allowed employers to pay a dollar less if they offered health insurance, regardless of the quality of that health insurance, which I thought that was wild. So basically what that's saying is that it will not allow an employer to pay less than $12 an hour, the minimum wage, even if they are offering health care benefits or health insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, why might people be like that? Listen here. Listen, I have health insurance right now for my job and everything. I'm going to tell you right now, they wanted to charge me $180. Okay? Because they're like, your deductible is still in effect or whatever. Whatever you want to call that. So, you still got to pay this much and you got to hit this certain amount before your insurance kicks in. So, why do I have health insurance? What is this? I'm too poor to afford to be sick.
Yeah.
I can't afford to be sick. So, you might be like, well, maybe they should be less if they're offering... sometimes that health insurance sometimes is not quality health insurance. Please, please, please understand that. So but that wage is going to mean way more so I can pay for when I get sick. Hey,
if you're somebody who is trying to argue for the fact that somebody should be paid less because they need health insurance to live so that they can go to work, again, why are you here?
You're entitled to your opinion.
You are entitled to your opinion, but everybody deserves health insurance, and they should be paid a livable wage. Do you know how much money they're taking out of my paycheck every single 2 weeks just so that they can put it into other stuff, and I still have to pay a deductible for my health insurance?
That's true, too, yeah.
Come on now.
So.
I just want to fix my teeth and not have my bones crack every time I get out of bed.
So I can go to my job.
But that means that I have to be paid less?
Yeah, that you deserve that. Because I have a condition. Yes.
I have a
That's what you're
condition.
Saying, basically. Is that if you need health insurance and you need health care, that you should be paid less. You should accept one or the other. You can either have good health care coverage and be paid shitty, or have good wages and not have any coverage for health care.
Zero health care coverage. So you're out here just raw dogging it all.
So, okay, that's that. That clarified it for you. Number three, it also clarifies that the authority to raise the minimum wage in the future lies with the state legislature. So we don't have to wait for the federal government to do that. So, in their opinion, for Battleboro Progress, question two helps us even the playing field for workers who are struggling. This is not just a good thing to do, it is the right thing to do. Employers should not be allowed to exploit a system that was designed to ensure workers have fair wages.
Exactly. So, if you want all of those things
so we said yes.
in parts 1, 2, and 3 to be in effect, then we voted yes for state number two.
For question number two.
Yes. Now,
question number three,
which we were
I
all
got tricked
about. We yeah. were very tricked, and we thought, oh, this is a good thing, but...
And then we were, like, shocked, and we saw everyone was like, no!
And then we were like, why?
Yeah, so DSA and Battleboro Progress and all the other places that I was looking at, besides the actual website that says vote yes on three, all of them were saying no.
Yes.
It was a no-go.
So, for state number three... But it states, so the wording that you're going to see on the ballot states, shall the Nevada Constitution be amended to allow all Nevada voters the right to participate in open primary elections to choose candidates for the general election in which all voters may then rank the remaining candidates by preference for the offices of U.S. Senators, U.S. Representatives, Governor, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, State Treasurer, State Controller, Attorney General, and State Legislator.
Now you know what all of those things are. You're not so excited you listen to this.
Exactly. Now all of that information is running back to state question number three.
Yes.
So what does this mean?
Big. Exactly. You forgot the part.
I'm looking at you.
Okay. Voting, okay, so question three basically says, the summary of what it's supposed to be is this, they're trying to establish a system of ranked choice voting in Nevada. I got tricked and I was like, ranked choice voting? Ooh, based, yes, yes, this is me, yes, I would love this to be based.
That'll open it up, so everybody gets a chance, right?
Now, let me read you the response. So, this is from Battleboro Progress, and I can elaborate a little bit more. So, they recommend voting no on question three. Why? So they said voting no will not establish a system of ranked they want to vote no because they said voting yes on this and having that will not establish a system of ranked choice voting in Nevada, which has proven to undermine the vote and power of communities of color at the ballot box. The process is complicated, time-consuming, confusing, and will inevitably result in increased errors. With increased errors will come an increased amount of ballots being thrown out and uncounted, ultimately disenfranchising voters, particularly those from BIPOC, so Black, Indigenous, people of color, low-income, and other marginalized communities. This policy goes against all the work we've done to make access to the ballot better for our communities. Nevada has come too far in our work to expand voting rights in Nevada to take a step back now. So that is how they feel. That's what they feel would happen if people were to vote this into effect. Now, DSA continued with that, and they said this initiative seems good on the surface, which I was like, yes, base. But it's really a piece of centrist candy inside a wrapper of progressive buzzwords. It is being funded by investor and businesswoman Catherine Guile. Guile serves on the board of the Unite America, previously called the Centrist Project, and has been trying to make it easier for centrists to win elections for nearly a decade. Put simply, DSA believes that this measure creates the illusion of democracy without addressing many of the core issues that plague our elections. A top five general election is almost useless when the two powerful capitalist parties will dump their resources into their preferred candidate and ignore anyone else who doesn't align with them. While we hope that some of the components of this ballot initiative will be adopted in the future, we believe that massive campaign finance reform must be tackled first. So, those are kind of the consensus that I got from a multitude of areas when reading about this ballot initiative. It's good on its face, but the execution and everything like that is what it's looking at, is that there will be other things that would just basically make it ineffective in what it is trying to do.
So would it be nice?
Possibly, yes.
But would it be nice right now? No. Is kind of the basic thing,
because we, like they said, yeah,
a lot of other aspects, so we want to create the structure that will make this make sense,
right? Because again, I think DSA and other candidates have won in past elections, and the Democratic Party chair, there was a big kerfuffle a while back where progressive candidates had won and they were supposed to take the lead at the Democratic Party chair, you know, that area. But then the people there were like, we don't want that. So they up and quit and then just moved their offices and all the money and everything that pertained to that party to a different area so that they could support a campaign for a Democrat. So ultimately what they're saying is, yes, that money corrupts. And either way, even if we had a ranked choice voting system, what happens is these institutions and organizations or whatever, they will just pick one of the candidates and pour all their money and effort and everything into that candidate. So it's not an even playing field for everybody, because you're only going to majorly hear about maybe, you know, like I said, like we didn't hear about any of those other candidates that were on the ballot, right? Yeah. And it depends on why, because the other candidates had backing from a lot of organizations, a lot of money, a lot of stuff that's fueling that.
Unfortunately, as much as the ranked voting would be great, capitalism is going to capitalism. And that's what...
capitalists will capitalize. That's what exactly. They go do.
And that's why first date number question number 3, we have to vote no on it for right now.
So that's it. That is what we have. So like I said, mark up your ballots. Put in your stuff. If you have questions or comments or concerns for us, please send it to our Facebook email, message us on our website and all that. And again, please check out the website for our political engagement section. We have resources and everything posted there. All the stuff that we talked about will be in the doobly-doos at the bottom. Thank you so much for listening to this. And like I said, go out and vote. It matters. Please go out and vote with, you know, like I said, yes, I understand that finances and all that type of stuff is very important. I'm not saying that it's not, and those concerns should not be addressed. But my biggest concern is that do not sacrifice your freedoms, and all the economic prosperity in the world is not really going to mean much if I don't have control over my own body. other people can't get married, other people's families and stuff are tearing apart, things like that.
Exactly.
So don't just believe just because you're like, right now, this doesn't really affect me. The biggest thing that affects me is financial stuff. Okay? But it's going to round back around to that stuff. Because if they start with one thing, they're going to come for the rest of us.
Exactly. So just, you know, do it and make it fun. People are just like, oh my god, I have to go out of my way, I have to do all this stuff. Make it fun, you know, have like a little ballot fill out party or something like that with your friends and fill it out and everything like that and plan it for like a Friday or like a Saturday or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can all just hop in the car, you can drop off your ballots, and then you can go and get some mojitos afterwards or something.
Mother Slim Thick usually always had us sit down, fill out our ballots, and make sure that we all get into the car, we all go down and we all vote. So, our parents were very big on it. They are immigrants. They, you know, became citizens of this country. They have always been about voting. It is very important to exercise that right. Is
enacting and using that inalienable right of having the right to vote.
You know, it's very important to them. They have always encouraged that to us, to take it seriously, to make sure we do it. So, we are encouraging you as well, especially during this time right now. It is very, very much more important than ever to talk about and engage with these topics and all this type of stuff that's going on.
We are in the early voting session right now. You really do have the time. You do have that air to breathe. So if you feel like a place is too far out of your reach or something like that, then there are resources for you to find to make it a little bit easier and more possible for you to vote. So,
and yes, and again, like I said, we'll post as much as we can online and help each other out and also just encourage each other too. But thank you again all for checking in with us and everything, and we hope to see you at the ballot box. All right,
have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or night wherever you are at. Remember to vote. And we will see you guys in the next one.
Yes, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.